Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm broadcasting to you live right now from South Florida, just north of Miami and Fort Lauderdale. And I'm very excited because we're continuing with our film guests this week. We've been having a lot of film guests lately, and I think that's fantastic because, as those who listen know, I'm not in the movie business, but I'm definitely a movie fan. I'm that guy in the block that's building the outdoor theater in his backyard, you know, and, you know, forces everybody to watch subtitled movies and stuff. Not all the time, just sometimes. Tonight we're talking to a new filmmaker, Mr. Emmanuel Osorio. Emmanuel, how are you?
Hello, Jamie. Yes, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm, you know, your story is kind of interesting to me. I was talking to a big shout out to Chris Morrissey, who introduced us, and yeah. We had him on last night and whatnot. Chris was fantastic, just a neat, such a neat person, and a really good filmmaker too. It's just, you know, who he is, what he does, and whatnot. So I'm glad you guys are friends and whatnot, and. You know, he's a good cat to know, I would imagine, in that world, you know, or in any world, really. Nice guy. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Emmanuel. I know you have a background in photography and fashion and all kinds of stuff. Tell us a little bit about how you come to be into filmmaking.
Yes. Well, growing up, I always loved taking little pictures here and there of a couple of trophies I might have gotten, or like maybe there was a buck on the shelf and I just wanted to take a picture of it. So it all really started with just a disposable camera. And from there, I ended up getting a DSLR, so a more professional, you know, like a black Canon camera. And then I fell in love with it, and I just... I just started taking pictures. And then along the whole way of, you know, just finding my artistic self, I just sort of found these other gateways of creativity, and I expressed it all through photography.
Oh, that's fantastic. So video is just a progression of still photography and whatnot. I'm very impressed with the photographers I know, because I'm horrible at it. I can put a camera on a tripod and it still comes out shaky. I don't know what the deal is. You know, I'm a painter by trade, and people are like, well, you know, you have a steady hand when you paint. And I said, yeah, but you know, when I'm painting, I'm like in another world. And it was funny. My girlfriend, my fiance, she told me, she goes, well, that's what happens with photographers. They're in their world when they're doing what they're doing. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I get it. You know, I get it and respect it. It's something I can't do. So that's cool, man. So were you always kind of an artsy kid, like a little off or whatnot? Or is this newfound artistic journey something you got into later in life? And you're young.
You know, I've always sort of been the artistic kid without me being named the artistic kid, you know, in quotes.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But kind of like with what you said about, you know, how you start painting, for me as a photographer, I've always just sort of seen, I like to, whenever I see something beautiful in life, I just want to take a picture of it. Kind of like with painting, but, you know, with painting, you obviously start from scratch. But with photography, the beauty's already there. You just got to capture the moment and press that button. But yeah, growing up, I definitely want to say that I got into art without realizing that I was getting into art.
Nice. That's the best way. That is the best way. No, you know, you don't strike me. Believe me, man. I 8 years at art school. I hung out with some quote unquote artistes, if you know what I'm saying. And it's I don't have as much patience for that. You know, it's funny. I used to, and I used to be very snarky when I was in school too about it. I remember, you know, oh, an artist, you know, is a lifestyle. A painter is a skill set. You know, that was a big thing I used to say all the time. But, you know, which is being young and snarky and whatnot. But you don't seem that way. You don't seem pretentious and whatnot. And I think every young artist is, usually. But you seem to handle it a little more. And maybe it's because you're, you're living in the L.A., although I've met some pretentious people in L.A., but maybe it's because you're in these all these different mediums, you know what I mean, and genres. You're drawing from that, and I think that's great because you're not wasting a lot of time with it. You're getting down to the work, and that is so important. That is so important.
Yeah.
So I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Yes.
And if you don't mind, is it okay to say your age without I don't want to offend anybody?
Go ahead.
Okay. 19. I got to tell you, Emmanuel, when I was 19, man, I wasn't thinking about making a feature film. Oh, my God. Maybe try and get out, stay out of jail or, you know, ways to get into jail. I don't know. But,
Florida must be a wild ride then.
Oh, I'm telling you, I was a bad kid. But, you know, I sometimes look back and go, I don't know how I survived that. Glad I did, though. So a feature film. Now, this is a big deal. This is a big undertaking, man. But you're ready to do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Nice.
You know, I like that you touched base on the whole, you know, growing up, you were sort of a bit pretentious. You know, for me, it was sort of like that way, sort of like that in a way, but not to a egotistical way. It was sort of like, you know, when I would find these outlets, whether it was photography or dancing or choreographing, stunting, you know, anything that I would be doing, I always just sort of asked myself the question of why not before doing it.
Right.
So now that I'm starting on my film, I just feel like it's all led up to this moment. Everything that I've learned throughout the course of my life and the things that I've learned within this time period, I just feel like the truth has pretty much led me up to it. You know, I've been studying film for a couple of years now, and what I've noticed is before I got into film, you know, photography is film and film is photography. It works both ways. And
right.
Now I feel as though, you know, the time has passed. I've seen sides of LA that many people haven't. And, you know, coming in with this fresh perspective of film, I feel as though, you know, I'm ready. And the real question is, shouldn't be, why is a 19-year-old making a feature film? It should really be, wow, like, why is this 19-year-old making a feature film, you know?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Well, I am very impressed. Like I said, that is way beyond anything I was doing at 19. So my hat goes off to you, sir. Whoa, that's a big problem. Let me put it this way. No, when I was 19, nobody would trust me with the money or any of that that it would take to make a feature film, you know.
Yeah,
you know, it just wouldn't have happened.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
You know, I'm glad you're doing it. And you've surrounded yourself with successful people that are, that you can be around and whatnot and talk to about, because I'm sure things are going to come up. You're like, I didn't think of that. And they'll say, oh, yeah, well, you know, here's a way you could have, here's how I handled it. And you're like, oh, that sounds crazy, but maybe that'll work, you know, or whatever. I think it's so important to have those types of people around you as an artist, you know,
of course,
that you can learn from and whatnot. And,
yes,
you know, it's very, very impressive. So tell us, you know, you've got the script and everything ready to go, or have you guys started filming yet, or are you at the getting everything in order level? Or?
Yeah, definitely. So right now where I is in the pre-production stage, you know, we're getting film locations ready and music ready, you know. Also, as far as the script goes, what I like to do is when I'm writing my script, I like to take pictures as I'm writing the script. That way, for example, like I'll take a shot, like let's say in downtown LA per se, and I'll like the picture, and then I'll write the scene for that. I'll write the script for that scene. But yeah, we're just right now in the pre-production stage, and yeah, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, with any project, you know, I'll tell you, planning is so important. You know, Chris and I were talking about this last night, you know, and it's something that I had to learn, you know, that when I was younger and getting into things and whatnot, I would be like, okay, I want to do this show, or I'm going to do this or that or whatever it was. And I'm like, you know, I kind of have an idea, and then I'd wing it. And you wind up, what happens is you wind up wasting so much time, because then you have to go back as you're doing it and start planning. You quickly realize that. So that's a good place to be, you know, good place to be. Now, are you an LA native? Did you grow up in Los Angeles or transplant?
Yes. No, yeah, I'm an LA native. Parents are from Mexico. They came here when I was still in the womb. And then got to LA. I was born and raised here. I haven't left. But I'm right now. My goal with the film is to start filming in October and to have it premiere at the Cannes Film Festival. So around this time next year. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, three cheers for your parents, you know, to do all that and, you know, find a better life. And you know, I'm sure that was not an easy tale or an easy story to or life experience, you know. I can only imagine. It's crazy because we live in a world where a lot of people are like, oh, you know, and I'm like, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, man. You know, I heard somebody bitching the other day. They're like, all these people. I'm like, man, I went camping with you one time. You lasted about 2 hours. You're going to go walk hundreds of miles? I don't think so, you know.
Definitely. Definitely. I like how you touched base on that, on experiences, because, you know, for me being 19 and being in this position where I'm about to direct my first feature film, you know, one can only ask themselves, how did this person get into that position so quickly? And I think it also has to do a lot with your experiences as you go by through life. Like I said, I've seen sides of LA that people haven't seen, or sometimes, you know, they might have seen something in a movie, but you know, I'm living my real life here in the city of Los Angeles, and it's crazy to hear how other people have to express themselves, again, just based off of experiences that they had.
Right. Well, LA is a cool town, man. It was interesting. When I first came to Los Angeles, I got out of college. I went to college in Boston, and I made my way out west. And I remember the first time going to Los Angeles, the strangest weekend I had ever had. I rolled into town, and I had two thoughts. I said, well, I definitely want to see all the movie stuff going on. I thought that, you know, it would be like the back lot at MGM, and people would be carrying around big plates of glass, and, you know, all this kind of stuff would be happening. I didn't see any of that. I saw a lot of warehouses and, you know, sound stages from the outside, not the cool stuff happening inside. But and then my other thought was, well, I've got to get down to Sunset Strip and hang out with all the rock and rollers and, you know, all those crazy people. And this was in the middle of the 90s. The grunge, that scene had changed into grunge, and it just, that wasn't happening either. And so my preconceptions of Los Angeles, you know, I might as well have went to Disneyland or something, because the reality of what I saw just wasn't there. But, you know, the cool thing about LA that I love is it's very infectious. And I mean that in a good way, ladies and gentlemen. Don't send me emails. Not that kind of infection. It's infectious that everybody's doing something, man. Everybody's got a plan. They're trying to be in a band or make a movie or trying to do something, you know. Do screenwriting, something. And you don't see that in other cities, as kind of New York, that is different than Los Angeles, you know. And it's nice. the weather's fantastic. You know, it's fantastic. I love it out there. And I'm always inspired, because everybody you're hanging out with, no matter where you're at, you're surrounded by all these people trying to do something. And it's very inspiring, you know. And it's cool to hear. Like, you know, here you are, you're 19, you're getting ready to make this movie, you're scouting locations and whatnot, taking pictures of all these places. That's cool, man. That's cool. It makes me want to get off my tail and get going on something, you know? How can you not?
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
But let me ask you, were your folks, when they came to the States, of course, and then they had a life, you know, are they in the entertainment business as well, or not so much?
No, not at all.
I gotcha.
You know, yeah, I think I got the genetics of creativity from both my parents that they didn't, bring to life when they were my age. So I feel like I can do what they couldn't do when they were in my footsteps.
Right.
But, you know, L.A. is it's a cool place. It's a cool place. I like how you brought that up about the, you know, getting here and it's not what you think. You know,
absolutely.
L.A. for most people, unless, you know, you're living in a – I don't know, you know, like a $2.5 million house, you know, and you're living in like Beverly Hills and you're driving a sports car everywhere, you know, then you're not really living, you know, quote unquote, the lifestyle. But
right.
There's definitely a lot I've noticed, you know, just based off of the people that I've met and worked with too, you know, LA is a place where every morning people get up and, you know, they try to make their wallets bigger and, you know, bring something new to the table. Even if it's something remotely small, but everybody always tries to contribute something. And, you know, of course you're going to have those, you know, those people that don't want to contribute and people that just
right.
want to be in it for the clout, you know. But I really want to touch base upon that because going forth in my film, I really want to showcase that side of LA, both sides of LA, the glamorous side where, you know, you get invited to these events where A-list celebrities show up and you walk the red carpet, you get your picture taken, you know, you're in there sitting down at a booth or, you know, you're sitting down with, you know, you look left and there's filmmakers, you look right, there's actors, you know, you look front
right.
and back and there's musicians. And then there's another side that people don't know that's like literally on the other side of the street. where it's dirty, it's grimy, it's musty, and you might see a person walking up and down the street, or you might see somebody, you know, asking for change. And so with my film, where I want to go with this is I want to show both sides, you know, the glamorous and the not so glamorous, because we live in a world where everything's sugarcoated, and it's almost as if people demand the right to have a glamorous lifestyle, or, you know, an upscale way of living.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, people need to realize that, hey, like, you know, you can have that house, you can have that sports car.
Right.
But, you know, that's where I want to go with this film. And that's ultimately what I want to show people.
Well, I think that it's, you know, needs to be said more. It's definitely a message that will resonate and people will want to hear, because even though you're focused on Los Angeles, I think that gap happens all over the country, you know. And it seems, I know this sounds very cliche, you know, well, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poor, you know, but it's true. You know, it's what we see.
Yeah.
And it's,
oh yeah,
it's interesting to me, because it's you know, and there's nothing wrong with either side, you know. I mean, it's there was a great quote, and I can't remember who said it. I think Ian McKay or somebody said, anarchy's great until, you know, the trash needs to be picked up. Meaning that, you know, it's well and good to, you know, a lot of the have-nots will put the haves down, and then the haves will look at, you know, you hear it all the time, you know, these people don't deserve, you know, a living wage or whatnot. But it's interesting, and I think your generation, and I love millennials. Let me just preface that. I think the millennial generation is fantastic. A lot of my counterparts and people in my generation don't feel the same way, but because I think what it is you guys are doing what we should have done and never did. I'm Gen X, by the way. And I think that's fantastic. You know, I love that you guys listen to all kinds of music. You know, I think that's smart. So do I, you know. But I'm curious, you know, when you're saying this, your idea for the film and whatnot, I'm like, well, that's kind of a millennial take, because they're seeing the whole world. You're seeing your world for what it is, you know, and you're deciding to make comment on it. Fantastic. Fantastic. Where other people would focus artistically on the dream, or they weren't commenting necessarily directly on what they're seeing. I think that's great. I think it's great that you are. That's amazing, you know. And you're right, man. I've been to those parties too. I've been to those parties where people roll up in a Lambo to go to the W and hang out, and, you know, there's they walk around some guy on the street who's out there down and out, and it's almost like they don't even see each other. And I'm like, whoa, that's kind of weird. You know, both human beings here. And really, the reality, and no one wants to hear this, is if you could take either of those people and switch their places, you know?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people are down and out through no fault of their own. You know, I know people don't want to hear that, but it's, I've seen it happen to people, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes life happens, man. And it's real easy to judge when you ain't that person. I don't know. That's just my take.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Sorry, you're making a film about it.
Yeah.
How cool is this?
Yeah, yeah.
How cool is this?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, I was hearing an interview the other day. I forgot who the interviewer was, but the interviewee was Harmony Korine, the guy that directed The Beach Bum, and that film just came out not so long ago, and it starred Snoop Dogg and a couple of other celebrities. And during that interview, Harmony Korine says, he's like kind of down, and he's like, man, everyone's out here making noise. But, like, don't make noise just to make noise. If you're going to make noise, make sure it's impactful and it changes someone's life. Don't just do something to do it because everybody's doing something to do it. They're not doing it because they have the passion, because they have the creativity, or because they want to do some good. They just, like I said, they want it for the clout. And, you know, touching base on what you said earlier about how, you know, there's some people in your generation that wish they could be in this generation and do what they didn't do. But reality is, you know, you're only on this planet for such a small amount of time that I don't.
Very true.
To me, it almost bothers me in a way when people say, oh, I wish I could have done that, or I wish I could have, you know, done this, but why not do it? You know, don't just talk up a
don't
big
give
talk,
up.
You know, just don't, exactly, just do it. I mean, you know, it's just plain and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a good lesson for people to know too, you know, and you know, just the fact that you're undertaking this project too, is like I said, inspiring. It goes to show, hey, knock it out. You know, if you got a dream, you got to go for it. You got to do it. You got to do it, man.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, now, for this film, did you have this idea for a while, or did it just kind of come to you, or, you know, were you really tore up one night and it came to you? No, I'm kidding. Hopefully that wasn't the case, but if it was, it's okay. How did this idea come about?
Very, very good question, actually. So, you know, obviously this is my first feature film.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be called Blase LA.
Nice.
And yeah, Blase
LA.
Just, you know, just how we're speaking, everybody's so blase, you know, like you said, pulling up to the W with the Lambo and like, you look left and there's your buddy, but you don't even say hi, like you don't recognize them.
Right.
So, you know, that's sort of, you know, how everybody is in LA. It's sort of all blasé, whether it's the newer generation that's growing up now with, you know, cell phones and everybody's just obsessed with selfies and they want to get it on the gram, you know, posting it on Snapchat. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just like, they'd rather, you know, and I say they, meaning, you know, the teens, the young adults living in my generation that can relate. For example, they'll go to a concert and they'd rather record the artist performing than putting their phones away and watching the artist live when they have them in front of them. And you know, people take things for granted. You know, you'll pay $200 to go see a good artist and you'll just have your phone out. Chilling and posting while other people would die to be in that same seat that you're in, you know?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
How it came to be, how this film came to be is honestly, like I said, it's just every single moment and every single thing that I've learned throughout my life and all those situations that I've been putting myself into purposely and unintentionally as well. Have pretty much all taught me subconsciously film. You know, now that I'm starting, you know, Blase LA, and it's going to be this like wave making project that no one's really seen. I mean, yeah, you can kind of get a gist for it, but it's not the way people have told it that's going to change it. It's the way that I'm going to express it and convey
right.
it onto the viewer. You know, touching base on photography, film is just photography that moves. They're pictures that move. And, you
I
know,
like
I've, yeah. So, and growing up, I always wanted to be an actor. I never thought directing was a thing. Growing up, I always wanted to be an actor, but you know, my mother is not from the U.S., so
mm-hmm.
her views and outlooks on life are completely different from, you know, a 19-year-old living in L.A. in 2019.
Right.
And
now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierux.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L'ApothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
So
what did she think when you told her about the film?
You know, she just kind of brushed it off, but as I like explained how the industry is and how it works, I just saw a smile in her face right after that.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, so I always wanted to be an actor. My mom never wanted me to act. So, I would always, So, you know, I would tell her, take me to a set or, you know, put me on set or something, but that never happened. So I started getting into dancing. So when I was in elementary school, I got a scholarship to go dance. It was in a dance studio in downtown LA. Probably I'd want to say like, maybe like around the corner from the Walt Disney Hall.
Okay.
And I would go dance there, and it would be like a weekend thing. I'd go Friday, Saturday, and fell in love with dancing. Then I grew up, and I didn't know that males could be cheerleaders. So I took a job at cheerleading in high school, became a cheerleader.
Nice.
I started to direct plays because, you know, it got to the point where and I don't mean to like backlash anybody or, you know, not to name any names, but there was a lot of kids at my school, a lot of my peers that would do things just like I say again, and for the clout, air quotes,
right?
Because they really did it for just to do it, you know, and it really bothered me. So I said, you know what, these my peers, and I say kids because I always thought of other kids my age as kids, because I saw I would talk to the older crowd, the adults, and I would I would connect with them on a more deeper level than I would with somebody my own age. So I took the initiative of becoming a director of a play that I did in high school, and that was cool. That was really fun. Everybody enjoyed the play, and I got to work on the set as a director. And it's all sort of just laid out for me, and I'm just putting the pieces together.
That's fantastic.
And
it's fantastic that you recognize that, because a lot of people don't. You know, they're like, and then they do when they're 50 years old. They're like, I should have done that. You know, but you're seeing it now, and that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing. That's cool, man. How was that, that experience with theater? It sounds like you really dug it a lot, you know, directing a play and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. You know, funny thing is, my first year as a freshman, the one class that I wanted was drama, and that's the one class I was not freshmen could not take that class. It was not allowed. So it kind of sucked in a way, but I begged the drama teacher to put me in. He ended up putting me in. He saw how I could communicate with the older kids, and I kind of just went from there. It was pretty much cake for me. When it came to dialogue, I, you know, just memorize your dialogue and, you know, get into character and give it a show. Give the audience a show, because at the end of the day, you know, people aren't going to sit in a seat for, you know, an hour or two for no reason. So, you know, like I said, my mentality, you know, resonated with folks that were older than me. So I feel as though I was ahead of the curve a little bit, per se, within the kids my age. And I quickly realized that. So the quicker you realize that, you know, that you can do anything and that anything's possible when you set your mind to it, then that's when you can just ultimately say, you know, I can do this, I can do that. Because reality is, you can, unless, you know, you don't want to.
Right. Right. Well, it's very cool, man. It's very cool. And I know people are going to want to follow along with your journey and, you know, see the progression of all of this. It's very exciting, extremely exciting. We have a link up on our show page. And for those listening that have listened to the show before, they know that we convert the show to a podcast at the end of every episode and whatnot. Well, these links follow the podcast. So I know we're on a whole bunch of podcasting platforms, 150 some or something, but link will, however you're listening to the show, the link will still be there. And it's Emmanuel, the director, it's his Instagram page. And all you young bucks are on that Instagram now. No, I'm kidding. Kind of, but it's a link to it. You know, I think Instagram's a great platform. And there doesn't seem to be as much fighting on mine as there. It's kind of calmed down a little bit, but man, Facebook got rough there for a while. You know, I was like, oh, mean. People were being mean on there. But Instagram's a lot nicer. And, you know, you're a visual guy, so it doesn't surprise me you're on Facebook a lot. Do you do Snapchat and all that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah. To be very honest with you, I like Instagram. I think it's cool, but I'm just not an Instagram kind of guy. You know, the truth, I'm not really a social media kind of guy. And that's kind of weird for me to say out loud because, you know, I don't know. All of my friends are on social media like 25/8. So, but yeah, I, you know, me being a filmmaker, I like Snapchat a lot. Just because it's like a little 10-second video and there you go.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you what. I will get your Snapchat address and we'll put a link up to that. I think you can link to Snapchat, can't you? I'm sure you probably can.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
There we go. There we go. I'll get it. I'll get it from Chris and whatnot as well. So that's cool, man. And we'll have that up just as soon as the show ends and whatnot. Very cool stuff. Well, let me ask you this. Now, you're looking at a year of work minimum, you know, in front of you and whatnot. Is that daunting or are you more of a, you know, let's go, I'm ready to do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, a year is, take a look at, you know, what happened a year, where were we a year ago and where are we now? How quickly has 1 year passed? Going back to like I said, you know, we're on this planet for such a very limited amount of time. You know, a year, if you really pace yourself and you do things how you want to do them, the outcome should be just as fast as the work you put in. So for me, a year is cake. That's quick.
nice.
You know,
that's a good edit.
But then again, you know, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not, you know, I can't see in the future or anything. So, you know, we'll just have to see how far along we'll get to this. But, you know, a year to me sounds about right. Sounds perfect. You know, from here till May again, you know, in May, 1 year from now, I'll be at the Cannes Film Festival premiering my film. So that should be interesting.
Oh, fantastic, man. Fantastic. And I wish you nothing. You know, I can't wait to see it happen and whatnot. I think that's fantastic. Very, very cool. Well, you know, like I said, very inspiring and whatnot. I imagine, you know, it's hard not to be. You know, you strike me as the type of person, you wake up, you're thinking about this project. Probably when you go to bed, you're thinking about this project, you know? And all the successful people I've talked to, that's how they do it. You know, if there's nothing half-assed about it, and that's cool, you're on it, you know. I like it. I'm inspired by it. Oh, it's very cool. So I can't wait, and I am going to be following and keeping right along, and we got to have you back too for updates and whatnot as well, throughout the this experience and whatnot. So cool, so very cool. Well, again, everybody, the person to watch, Emmanuel Osorio, very, very cool filmmaker, and I can't wait to see your I can't wait to see the film. I think it's a great idea, you know.
Yeah. And I think, well, I don't think, I know this is the perfect time for it, just because, you know, take a look at the 2000s, from 1999, mm-hmm. switching over to 2000, and now we're here literally around the corner from 2020. So that's 2 decades ago. We were barely starting cell phones and the internet was coming up, and now years later we're here with, you know, somebody is completely across the globe and they're talking to somebody and saying you know, whether it's nice things or vulgar things to them. And I really want to capture that with this film. You know, the concept is to capture the millennials and to capture the inside look of the life of a teenager. What's LA like in a teenager's perspective? Because I'm sure, you know, if I was in another country, if I were to see my film, I'd be like, hey, I want to be in LA. That looks like a cool vibe. So I really want to capture that. And I'm glad that you brought up the whole 1 year time frame, because this is the perfect time to do it. You know, what better time than 2020? And I really want to capture this moment because, mm-hmm. Actually last week I was at an event called Digital Hollywood. I went accompanied with my friend Chris, and we were hearing some interesting panels, and I asked Chris, hey, like, were you here last year? He said, yeah. And I said, well, were they talking about what they're talking about now? And he said, no. He said, it's completely different. The game is completely changed, and people are looking for the next big thing technology-wise. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, and something major that was brought up in a lot of the panels was VR. You know, what is VR? What exactly is virtual reality? And what is it meant to do? Kind of like the internet when it came up and, you know, cell phones. We wanted it so bad. We had it. Now what? Look at, you know, the good and the bad of what's become of it. So now what I really want to do is I just want to, like I said, kind of take a picture and make sure to keep it very safe for as long as possible, because a couple of years from now, cell phones are probably, you know, not even going to be a thing, or who knows, because, you know, technology is advancing so rapidly. And if I could just tell you the things I was hearing about other countries and like the technology they have and how fast they've developed things and how far they've gone with pushing boundaries, you know, it's incredible and it's amazing to even just to hear, you know, right now when you think of when you hear big A-list actors and celebrities, you know, you see them on film, but who knows, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, we're going to have robots. And robots are literally among us. And it's the craziest thing ever. It's the coolest thing ever. So I just want to go ahead and capture this time right now, this moment in time that everyone is being so blasé and nonchalant about it before we move on to the next big thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, and it's so true. It's so true. You know, we were talking, you had mentioned 20 years, and in my mind, I was thinking back, you know, 20 years ago, you know, and the thing is, I'll tell you, 20 years ago, I was trying to put a package together to send out to galleries. And, you know, you want to set yourself apart when, you know, when you're doing that whole thing and whatnot. And I thought it was really cool because I had all these paintings that in this portfolio that I wanted to showcase. So I actually bought a big box of VHS video cassettes, but they weren't like 2-hour videos. They were like 5-minute, only had like 5 minutes of tape in them, enough to do like a little slideshow. And I sent those all out to all these galleries and stuff, and it was great. But, you know, in 20 years, it was a lot of work and it was expensive to put all that together, you know, and you know, it was involved. And now we just, you know, send a link or something and it's all done. It's so quickly and it's free, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
20 years, you're right. Technology, I who knows? And, you know, it's, you're right with I was just watching a documentary, a little thing about robots at the downtown Sheraton in a hotel in Los Angeles. All their baggage guys, like their bellboys and all that kind of stuff, baggage handlers, people, that's all done by robots now in the hotel. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Today, right now.
I mean, just imagine, you know, a couple years ago, And this is, you know, this is something funny that I like to bring up often. You know, you at least in LA, you'd pull up to McDonald's. You know, there's two windows. The first window, you know, and this is in some cases before they had the whole radio of ordering on the drive-through. But, you know, before it'd be you pull up, you order, you pay the guy, move on to the next window. And then you get your food. But now you just gotta, you know, you can, now you can even order it from your home on your phone, and then you just pull up to the parking lot and somebody will come out and give you your bag of food. So, I mean, it's just crazy how quick and how rapid technology is advancing.
I'm telling you, we went to McDonald's the other night. Me and Danny, we didn't feel like cooking, and I don't know. We were by the McDonald's. We went in there, and I went inside the McDonald's to order. I don't know. We didn't go through the drive-thru. I said, I'm just going to go in because I don't know why, but I just did. And they had just I wanted to see it. They had just rebuilt our local McDonald's. Redesigned it or whatever. I walked in and I felt like Buck Rogers, man. I'm like, ooh, I'm in space. This is the future. It was, you know, it was all kiosks where you ordered and whatnot. And they had one person up at the register, but that was really it. Yeah. You know, I mean, and all these things, you know, the kiosks were down from the ceiling on these. It was very futuristic. And I was just like, man, this is just our neighbor. This wasn't like at Disney World or something. It's just our neighborhood McDonald's. I'm like, man.
Yeah. I feel you.
Did I go through a portal? What happened, man? I didn't want to leave.
No, definitely.
Oh, man. That's funny. Well, very cool, man. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to see, you know, your take on all this and the film and whatnot. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be very, very cool. You know, just keep at it and make it happen, man. And I know you will.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your support. It means a lot.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, I speak the truth. And I'm very inspired, you know, because I got to tell you, at my age, too, man, there are mornings I get up and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to do it today. I don't know if I could, you know, and then I say, well, Emmanuel's doing it, so I better get up off my butt and get it in gear, man. Get going on it. You can't be the only one out here working hard. And very inspired. Well, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Very cool. I can't. Next time in LA, we'll definitely hang out. And
definitely.
Cool beans. And thank you so much, Emmanuel, for being on the show and whatnot, and sharing your story. And man, I got to see how it ends now. You know what I mean? I'm hooked.
Yeah. For sure.
Awesome. Well, we're up against the time, folks. Man, the hour went by quick.
Yeah.
It always does. You know, we're talking about a year. Man, I tell you, the hour just went by in about 5 minutes. I don't know. Crazy. Well, for those who listen, you know the routine, the drill. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and put out on all the various social media platforms. And all the podcasting platforms. As I mentioned, we're on 157 of them right now. So very, very cool. If you are, the big one we're on is Apple Podcasts, always free. It's free always, everywhere. We do advertising is how we pay for everything. But if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, do me a quick favor. Doesn't cost you anything. Hit that ratings and review. That keeps us up at the top of the page. And when I talk to the advertisers and we have our you know, our Hollywood lunch meetings where we all wear big sunglasses and sit by the beach and carve up the world. No, we really don't do that. None of us wear sunglasses. We eat inside. I'm kidding. But no, it makes my life a lot easier when we talk to them. If I can say, yeah, here's the numbers, baby. So very, very cool. We will be back. What is it? Today's Thursday. Holy crow. We will be back Monday. We've got 4 shows next week, and it's all independent filmmakers next week. So it's a film week. So stay tuned for that. I've got a director on Tuesday. No, they're all very great. But one of the cool things about, and I had not seen this before. I think it's almost, maybe it's not a new genre. It is new to me. We've got a director who's got a film that he's going to be talking about. Just came out, or is coming out, I think, actually. And it's a thriller, you know, there's a crazy killer in it, but it's all LGBT. It's a gay thriller. I had not seen that before. And man, I watched the film the other night. Woo, this guy is not happy. Not happy. But it's a good movie. Really kept me on the edge of my seat. So it's going to be a lot of fun next week. And this episode, like I said, will be converted. This will be up probably in about 45 minutes to an hour. So there you go. Emmanuel, keep doing what you're doing, man.
It's very inspiring.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. And I hope, you know, it's fun and whatever you get into this weekend. Cool, cool, cool. We'll see you next week. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.